Well, good morning. So I got to tell you, I forgot to send the verses to put them on the screen. And I can make all sorts of excuses, but kind of just forgot it was Thursday until Friday. And that was that. So I'll read them out loud, but hopefully you have your Bible or your Bible app with, so you can read them with me. You know, it's always just better when you hear the word and see the word and read the word. It all goes together, right? Gets in your heart even more than it would. So I'll be reading from the NIV version, and we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read verse 18. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. So verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're here today. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word. Lord, we ask that these words would be your words, because your word doesn't return empty. Lord, we just thank you for your son, Jesus, that he died for us and rose again. And we pray we'd be faithful to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, well, that verse sounds familiar. If you remember, the Sunday after Easter, Mary Kay delivered us a message called, "The Message Has Not Changed." Right, so that was a while ago, but today's title is going to be "The Message of the Cross," and I'm going to say "The Message Has Not Changed," part two. Right, so, you know, anytime someone tells you the message hasn't changed, what's probably your first question? Oh, what's the message, right? And that's the first thing you want to figure out. And have I changed it? Right, so with those two things together, we're going to talk today about, you know, the message of the cross. So Paul's letter to the Corinthians really starts with that same message, right? He's heard that church in Corinth is sending out messages that aren't the ones that were preached by him. You know, he hears that all sorts of different messages have come into the church, all sorts of messages are going out to the church, right? And for Paul and for us, that's a serious issue, right? Because there's only one message we have that offers eternal life. So Paul's helped establish that church, and he hears they're moving away from the message that Jesus was Savior, and that they're living in a way that does not honor Jesus. Right, Paul writes this letter to remind them. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 1, and I'll read through verse 17 to get us caught up. So, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified by Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And verse 10. "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there are no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' Still another, 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the power of the cross be emptied of its power. Right, so when Jesus came back and was raised from the dead, he gave his disciples some very clear instructions. So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 16 together. So Mark chapter 16 we're going to read verse 15. Right, so this was Jesus' message to his disciples. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." I know that's some pretty clear instructions, right? And what's the gospel message? Right, that's the message that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, that he died on the cross as a sacrifice for each one of our sins. That when we believe in him and ask forgiveness for our sins, we are forgiven, right? That God considers the penalty paid for in full because of the death of his son. And when we ask forgiveness, we can be confident, right, that we are one of God's children. So when Mary Kay stands up and says, hey, we're one of God's favorite children, that's true for those of us that believe in Jesus. Right? So we want to make sure our message is clear within the church, and when we're outside of the church, right, do we have that message, that's different, right? It's not, there's one way, right? We have to be clear, especially in this day and age, right? You know what the most popular thing to download right now is? One of the most popular, AI and chat bots, so you can look up verses, because people are looking for a way, right? They're looking for the thing that you have, right? And God would design it that way, wouldn't he? So that you only have one answer for him, right? So we have the answer to go out to the world, right? We don't have to be AI, but we got to know our Bible. We got to know what God said. Right, so that's part of why we come here today, right? So that's why the gospel means the good news, right? The good news is what? That we need a Savior, and we have one, Jesus Christ. And when we believe in him, he have the promise of eternal life. All right, so some Bibles don't have that mark, so we're going to turn to Luke chapter 24, and this is how Luke records what Jesus told him. So Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. So Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. And Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Right, so there's one message, and that's the message of the gospel, that Jesus is the Messiah and the one way to forgiveness of sins. So if we turn back now to 1 Corinthians, what we started with, chapter 1, verse 18, this is what Paul goes on to tell the church in Corinth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. All right, so crucifixion was probably considered the worst punishment of the day. Right? Roman citizens were not even allowed to be crucified because of how horrible it was. So the idea that this all-powerful Savior, right, would die on a cross, that was a real problem for some people back then. Right? And it's still a problem for some people right now. So, you know, what kind of Savior goes and gets himself killed? Right? What kind of power can that person have? Well, that wasn't any different back then, was it? So if we turn to Matthew chapter 27, so Matthew chapter 27 and verses, we're going to read verses 27 through 31, then skip a few and go to 37 through 44. So Matthew chapter 27, and I'll start with verse 27. So when the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Then skipping to verse 37. Above his head they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, he said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Right, but here's the difference. What we need to understand is that Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. Right? He did not go to the cross because he was weak. Right? He went to the cross because he knew he was on a mission. A mission that would save the whole world. So we're going to turn to John chapter 10. Because Jesus had told them this many times, right? What was really going to happen. So in John chapter 10, I will start with verse 7. And go through verse 18. So John chapter 10, 7 through 18. Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. And so Jesus lays down his life for us. We're the sheep in that story that he's telling. And we need saving. And that tells us how serious the sin problem is. Right? So the sin problem goes all the way back to, right, to the very first two people in the whole world. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, we can track it back all the way to Adam and Eve. Right? So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you certainly will die. So then we go on to the story where they eat from the tree in Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil will you eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. All right, so God tells us that all have sinned and are all under the same penalty of death. So would you agree? What would you say the percentage of people that have died in the history of the entire world is? 100%, right? 100%. You can round that up. So do you think it's true that we're all under the penalty of death then? Is it fair then to say that we've all sinned? Because that's the penalty for death. Right? So, but this is where the power of Jesus dying on the cross starts to show its true self. Jesus never sinned, right? But God needed a sacrifice to pay this penalty and the debts for sin, right? Because God's a just God, and he knew what was going to happen. So sin is breaking God's commandments, right? Any sin, is that what it is? Breaking God's commandments. And God is a God of justice. So sin cannot go unpunished or unpaid, but God is a God of mercy. So he saw that no man would be able to live a life free of sin, and that all would be separated from him. So God sent Jesus to become a man and live a sinless life, because Jesus was still God, at the same time he was a man. Right? So Jesus then was not under the penalty of death like we are. Right? So when only God, right, could fulfill that law, he could provide that way for each of us to be counted righteous, even though each of us has sinned. Because he said, I'm going to accept Jesus' sacrifice as atonement for your sins. So, right, so we're going to read Romans chapter 5. That kind of easily summarizes all of that. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. All right, and the heading of mine is Death Through Adam, Life Through Christ. So Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking command as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if many died by trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in order for us to be forgiven, each of us must decide if we believe in Jesus as Savior. And either we do or we don't. Either are we with him or are we against him. So don't fall in the trap of thinking that sin is not a big deal. Right? Don't fall in the trap of, well, did God really say? Or are there many ways to heaven? All those three things are pretty common these days, right? And they're all the same trap that's been repeated over and over and over, right? So the message of the cross answers all of these, right? Is sin serious? Yeah. What did it require? It required the death of the Son of God to make it right. You know, does God really say that we're all sinners? Yeah, he does, right? If we weren't, would he send Jesus for each one of us? Are there many ways to heaven? Oh, there can't be, right? There's one way, and his name is Jesus. If there was more than one way, would you really know? Would you really know God is so gracious, he only gives us one way, so that we only have one way, right? But there is only one way at the same time. And that message might not be the most popular, but it's still true. So, the message of the cross then is also not something we learn and then we move on to other things, right? The message of the cross is our anchor. Right? When we anchor ourselves in the message of the cross, it answers some of the biggest questions that people have out there. Right? Is God real? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus was real. You can find more historical data on Jesus than any other person. More manuscripts, more closer to when he lived. I mean, all those things, witnesses. And the Bible is more tested by many people that try to prove it wrong than probably any other book in the entire universe. Right? So, does God care? Does God care? What's the answer? Yeah, look at what he did with Jesus. Does he care? He does care, right? So why doesn't he do something, right? That's one people ask all the time. Why doesn't he do something? Well, he did, right? He did do something. What did he do? Not just a little something. He did something for all of eternity, right? A lot of things we talk about are temporal here, right? But when Jesus came, he did to improve your life here on earth. He did it for all of eternity, right? So does God care? Yeah. Is God real? Yeah. Why doesn't he do something? Well, no, he did. Right? We have to look at Jesus. Right? And it also answers that big question that many people are answering. Am I worth something? So are you worth something? You are. What are you worth to God? You're worth the death of his son, Jesus Christ. That's priceless. Right? And it's not just you, not just me. It's that person that maybe is not your best friend. Right? When you see the world through that, you understand what mission we've been given. Right, that ours is to preach the gospel, right? The message of the cross. So, the message of the cross. The message has not changed, right? And we need to preach it and live it. Right? If we only have the words but not the actions, what happens? The message gets lost, right, in the actions. It's the same for all you parents, you know. You can say, well, do as I do, you know, do as I say but not as I do, but it doesn't go very far. Right? It just won't go very far. It's the same way with us. When people look at us, that's why the importance of the church representing Jesus is such a serious matter, right? And it doesn't mean we won't sin, but it's different, right? When you're in God's family and you sin, right? What lives inside of you? You have the Holy Spirit. So when you sin and God convicts you, you're at war with yourself. You're at war with the Spirit inside of you. But it's not because God is mad. You know, he's mad at sin. He does not like sin because usually someone gets hurt, whether it's you or somebody else. But God's coming to you because he wants to deal with it, right? To bring forgiveness. That's why he sent his son. He doesn't tell you that you're sinful and that you sin so you can sit in it forever. That's not the God we serve, right? God sent Jesus so he can deal with it. So when he wants you to deal with sin, it's so you can represent him well. And so that you're at peace with him, right? And then you look at the people outside that are sinning. Well, you can't, same time, you can't judge them the same way God's going to judge you. At the same time, you got to pass that message on to them, right? Because where are they at? Without Jesus, you're outside, right? You're condemned to death without him. You have a life of eternity without him. That's serious, right? We know it is. That's why the message is so important, right? We have to speak it. We have to live it at the same time. That's what God gave us. You know, could he do it by himself? Yeah, he could do it by himself, right? He could do it by himself if he wanted to. He could reach every single person they knew was going to believe in him. But he wants us to do it right so we can grow in him. Right? Because we want to grow with Jesus. Right? He's transforming us day by day. He transforms our mind, transforms our heart. You know, he talks about he gives you a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. That's when we talk about put Jesus in your heart. Some people look at it like you're crazy, right? Or you preach the blood of Jesus like, man, what are you, some kind of crazy vampire or cult, you know? If we don't explain it right, they don't understand. So we get kind of caught in our, you know, Christianese language, and you can just lose a lot of people because they're just confused. But this sounds pretty crazy if you kind of listen to yourself sometimes. Right? So it's important that we're clear about what this message is that we have. Because right? It's not faith. You know, faith, we kind of come off of faith as some sort of like believing in fairies or believing the tooth fairy or Santa Claus. No, that's not what faith is, right? Faith is going to be that you understand as you grow that God is who he says he is. That's what faith is. So when things are going bad, and some of you, and I've heard just a few of your stories, you've had the darkest days of darkest days. Right? That doesn't change who God is. And that's what your faith is, that when the darkest days of darkest days come, you anchor yourself. Okay, I anchor myself in Jesus. I'm going to look toward the cross. I know that God cares. I know that he has a plan. I don't understand what it is right now, but he's faithful to do what he said he's going to do. Right? And that's what changes people's lives, is the power of the cross is what changes people's lives. That's why we have to preach that, because that's what's going to change people's lives, right? Right? For eternity. We're talking in eternal consequences here. Right? So it's a beautiful thing. It's the most, you know, exclusive, inclusive club you can ever be a part of. It's open to anybody. Man, woman, you know, American, Iranian, black, white, you know, Asian, whatever you want to be. Right, there's one question that's going to ask you. Right, do you believe in Jesus? Because when you believe in Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, it also isn't some sort of like fairy dust that Jesus sprinkled down, right? It was a real sacrifice that he made. You're under the penalty, right? But Jesus can free you of the penalty because he paid for it. It cost Jesus his life to free us from sin. We want to make sure they understand that's how it works, right? Right, so Jesus said he's coming back, and this time he's going to come back to judge sin. Right, so that way the world can go back to the way God wanted it to be. So every day, we're one day closer to Jesus coming back, right? Amen? Right, so that's one day closer to the return of the King. So, time is short. Jesus gave us this job to preach the gospel. You know, both the church that Jesus is the leader of, and for us personally, right? He's called each one of us to do that. So, whether you've been going to church all your life and you've heard this message all the time, or this is the first time you've heard the message, whether you're watching this on a replay, the power of Jesus is available to change your life here on earth and for eternity. Right? So, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, because you haven't yet, we want to make sure you have that opportunity today so you can pray with me, not because of anything I offer, just to lead you as you're learning your new life. So, you can repeat after me, Jesus, I believe in you as Savior, that you died and rose again, and I ask forgiveness for my sins. Please help me follow you. Right, so if you prayed that prayer today, you are in God's family now. Right? And you are on a new journey. It's just the beginning. So if you prayed that prayer, you can find Jenny or Mary Kay or myself, because we want to help equip you for this new life that you're going to lead. And for all of us that have already believed, right, the message of the cross is the one that brings salvation for each one of us. Right? Amen. That's what I got.
Good word. We are going to sing a song. What's in Amaze?